Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge. They're the hosts who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
This isn't working out very well, is it?
The faster you crank, the quicker it'll be, so crank harder.
Rock and roll, baby. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
Word.
Well, we were going to start recording earlier tonight than we normally do. And then after all the internet trouble, we're just about right back on schedule.
Yeah, we're just about there.
Yeah.
But we got all the unfunny stuff out of the way, so now it's...
Yeah, now everything from here on out will be funny, I promise you.
That's the best joke so far.
Hey, so, I got to get up real early tomorrow because I'm running this job at work. I haven't done this in a long time. I mean, it's been a long time that I've run a construction job where I was the one who had to be there early to talk about safety.
Didn't you go to college so you didn't have to get up early? Wasn't that the whole reason why?
So here's the sequence of events. First of all, yes. Second of all, my first job out of college, they expected me to be there by 7:30 every day. And then one day a week by 6 o'clock. And you know me, I did not do so well with those requirements.
I was going to say, because I remember banging on your door several times in the morning.
I haven't had a guy, like I was, they were every, you know, twice a week I was being called in the office.
Mm-hmm.
To the point I was making jokes about it. Like, I look back on it and I think, I would have kicked my ass if I were my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would say, Steve, can you come in the office for a second? You know, the whole, we could be talking about anything. I might just want to ask you about your volleyball team or, you know, how your day's going. Or maybe I'm going to give you a raise. You know, no, it's never that. It was like, Steve, you come in the office for a second? I look around at everybody else. I go, Ernie's going to beat me up.
Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
And it was always about, you know, we heard you missed the meeting again this morning. I was like, yeah, that's early. Like, well, what time do you go to bed? Well, it depends on which night we're talking about. I mean, it's schooner night on Monday nights. Tuesday night is quarter beer mm-hmm. night at Knickerbocker. And then Nick's has live music on Wednesday nights, plus like $2 pitchers. And so Thursday nights is really nothing. So Friday mornings I do okay because I go to bed around, 2 or 3 in the morning on Thursday nights because there's really nothing going on. And then it just makes it hard to get in. So I actually had, this was their suggestion. So I took them up on it. They're like, why don't you have somebody call you in the mornings and get you up? I was like, good idea. So one of the workers, because God knows I wasn't one of them, but one of the people who actually did real work, I was like, you got to be here anyway, right? Every day this early. And so, meaning 6 o'clock. And why don't you just give me a call around 5:30. I'll get up and I'll come in. I usually didn't remember. It was either I wouldn't remember the phone ringing or I wouldn't remember talking to the guy, but it never worked. It was always like, Steve, get the hell up, get some coffee, get on in here. And then finally he went to my boss and said, like, it's not my responsibility to call him and make him get up.
Like,
That won't work either. Anyway, so that lasted for a while, and then I got the next job. It was the same goddamn thing. I'll tell you what. There's been this glorious period between about 15 years ago and now, where I haven't had to get up early because I'm an independent consultant, and you can't really tell an independent consultant when they have to be there. It's something we figure out for ourselves, like when is the optimal time for us to be there. Mm-hmm. And so it just so happens for the next week, I figured it was the optimal time for me to do this. So it's not like I have to. I probably could have finagled my way out of it, but I just didn't feel like finagling my way out of this one. But I don't know why it's got to be so goddamn early. Why do people start work at 6 o'clock in the morning?
I honestly don't understand. You know, I mean, I know like with schools, right? You know, they get you going early to prep you for when after you've graduated and you're like working in a factory or whatever. But that's kind of the cart before the horse. It's like, well, why did the factory start at 4 o'clock in the morning? Why can't they start at 8? You know, even 8's like a reasonable time to be fully functional. Because what you really want, like on a construction job or a factory with huge machines that can kill people, is half asleep workers or workers who are so whopped up on coffee and whatever else, whatever, you know, one of those little yellow jackets or whatever.
Or cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That's right. Or they're still hung over from the night before, or still drunk from the night before. That's what you want in your factory. I never understood that. Yeah. I never understood it.
I had a job once where they started, it made total sense too, especially in the summertime. They started at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they got off at 12:30 with a half hour for lunch in there. And it was a foundry where they're pouring white hot metal.
Uh-huh.
And it's hot in there. Like if it's 80 degrees outside, it's 110 in that foundry.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start early and get done early.
Yeah.
So my job, when I started at 4 a.m., well, first of all, getting up to go to work at 4 a.m. feels like getting up in the middle of the night.
It's the worst time. It's good practice for hell to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I'm getting up at 3:15, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, that was easier than getting up. It's easier for me to get up at 3:15 than it is to get up at like 5:30 or 6. Because it's the middle of the night. I'm used to being up in the middle of the night.
Right.
So my mom would come in there. Yeah, I was living at home, and my mom would wake me up every morning. That's weird. I did not. You know how people say you marry your parent? Like, dudes marry their mom, girls marry their dad. People say that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were aware of that.
Right.
I did not marry my mom. Because my
Neither
mom would get me up every morning. She would wash my clothes. She'd make sure I had clean clothes to go to work that day. She made my breakfast and my lunch for that job. That was sweet, and I didn't even know it. So she'd get my ass out of bed. I'd go to work, and I had about an hour and a half of hard manual labor. And then it had to be done by like 5 o'clock. So I'd get there at 4, get all my stuff on, my hard hat, my gloves, my steel toe boots, all my sweatband, because they had standard issue sweatbands. They look like hell. It's just like a sponge on a rubber band that you put around your head.
Yeah.
If you pull it off wrong, it pulls your hair. So I get all ready. I'd go do what's called digging the pigs. I'd get the pigs dug. And then that was pretty much it for the day. That's all I had to do. The rest of the day, I was just the laborer. I'd just do whatever they needed me to do, which was usually nothing. So I'd sweep. Like, I'd just sweep. That place never looked so clean. I'd just stand I'd just sweep. Because if I ever stopped and just sat down to bullshit with somebody, the boss would come over and be like, "You got to get back to work."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "There's nothing to do." He said, "Well, you can't just stand around. You can't not look busy." I was like, "Oh, for Christ's sake." So I'd find a cigarette pack next to a trash can. And this is back when you could smoke at work.
Yeah, I was going to say, for our younger listeners.
Yeah. And I would take that cigarette pack, and I'd sweep it all the way to the other end of the factory floor. And I'd turn around, I'd sweep it all the way back to where I found it. And then I'd pick it up and put it in the trash can. And I'm like, well, that killed some time.
Yeah.
That was worse than the next summer when I think I've talked about this one on the show, where we were down in those pits.
I'm not sure if we did or not.
Well, we were, this is the one where my dad, so the next summer, I was in engineering school. So my dad went to the personnel manager and said, hey, you got summer work for my son? And he's like, yeah, you know, Ed, let's put him up in the office with the engineers. He's in engineering school, right? Yeah, he is. Well, let's put him up front where the engineers are. And, you know, he could start to learn engineering. Well, what was his name? I forgot his name already. Last name was White. He's a black guy. But that keeps coming up in my life. So my dad's like, no, don't do that. He's like, why not? He's like, you have anything on the cleanup crew? He's like, well, yeah, we always have something on the cleanup crew. Nobody wants to do that job. Well, I want him on the cleanup crew. Okay, Ed, we'll do that. It's always weird when people call my dad Ed. His name's Ray.
I know.
Anyway. It's like when they call your brother Bud Harold. I'm like, wait a minute, his name's Bud.
That's how you can tell his friends that he met in junior high versus growing up.
And then there are people that call him Buddy, my mom. So that's what happened. And the reason my dad did that is I had started to talk about maybe changing my major away from engineering and possibly into a discipline that they did not have at Rose-Hulman. Mm-hmm. What my dad heard me say was I wanted to leave college altogether. And he's like, here's what we'll do, Mr. Personnel Manager. You don't put him up here in this air conditioning. You put him out there on that factory floor. Show him how bad it is. And that'll make him want to stay in school and graduate.
Your dad is a wise man.
Well, he's something. He's a wise ass is what he is. Because I didn't find this out until years later. And I was like, I was never thinking about leaving school. He's like, yeah, you were. And me putting you out in that foundry and the cleanup crew changed your mind real fast. I was like, that's not how it happened. He's like, yep. If I'd let you be up in that air conditioning, you probably would have just... And I'm like, what kind of logic is that? I knew how hot it was from the previous summer. Now you put me up in the air conditioning, I'll go, I want to be up here. How do I get up here? Even if I was thinking about quitting college, how many people up there in the air conditioning didn't go to college, right? Not many. Most of them went to college because now they're in the air conditioning. That would have worked. Anyway, the cleanup crew job came in at 12:30 in the heat of the day and stayed until 9 o'clock, and then we all left and got drunk. But that job was actually better than the previous one, because it's like going to, you know, it's like your buddies in the military. You remember those days in NAM? It was hell.
To forget them,
you know,
man.
What? We became brothers.
Don't make me go back. Don't.
Just think of the brotherly love. I mean, we loved each other.
The good parts, by the good parts, you mean like the necklace of ears that I had? Or
yeah.
They were elephant ears, but they were
ears. Elephant ears in Vietnam. The Vietnamese elephant.
No, I meant like the snack.
Anyway. Elephant ears.
Like you get at the
fair. Paul got pastries around his neck.
The big pastry. Man. I'm like flavor.
Are
I'm like
the bugs bothering you guys?
they're not even noticing any bugs. They're just like, man, for NAM, this sure is bug free.
And you look like Pig Pen, only instead of dust, it's bugs.
And that's why. And that's why NAM was hell, man.
Yeah.
It never wasn't Charlie. It was the bugs.
So my point is, I think my worst job ever was probably the first one, because it was so damn boring.
I remember, because I was sitting at the supper table, and I told my dad, yes, Steve got a job at such and such. And he's like, he's probably in a foundry. Yep. Oh, God. He's just like, oh, God. You'll never see him again. I was terrified. No. I'm imagining like big vats of lava, you know, like you see in the old, those old movies we used to watch in elementary school.
That's pretty much it. Big vats of lava. I wish I'd taken some pictures. I wonder why I never took any pictures. Maybe they didn't allow it.
Have digital cameras.
Because God forbid the secrets would get out.
I know. You're like, he must be like safety or something. And he has to get, they never saw you again.
He has a stopwatch and a camera.
He accidentally fell into the big vat of lava.
He was never heard from again until one day somebody was having trouble with their boiler. They went down there and it was a knock, knock, knock. This boiler's knocking, and they called the service man, and the service man went down there in the middle of the night. It was knocking. And he took off the service door, and behind the service door was a face staring back out at him. It had fire in its eyes.
And it said, close the door, there's a draft.
Hey, how about that as our Facebook question of the day?
Okay.
Your worst job ever. Go. Check and see, we'll interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, don't read the article. It's headlines. This is a local story.
All right.
There's a battle brewing over cold beer sales in Indiana. My first thought is, how clever. You know, I should have been a headline writer. So I'd be like, let's see, beer. What do you think about brew? You brew beer. What can we say? Brewing? It's a battle brewing over cold beer sales in India. You know what? I'll bet that's what that Aaron Mankey guy, the guy that does that lore podcast, uh-huh, which I never talk about. I bet that was his job in a previous life.
I'm willing to bet.
Headline
writer. I'm willing to bet that there are headline writers who just write headlines like for 8 hours a day, and they just have them, and then they just pluck them out and make stories about them. They take like the best ones.
I used to think that's what the Onion did. I used to think they would just take like a headline and go, okay, here, this is a funny headline, write a story about it. Maybe they do that. This particular one, though, I think Indiana, I'm not sure if there are any other states like this, but there's some weird. It's one of the things that's peculiar to the United States is, I think anyway, I don't think it's different. Like if you're in England or, you know, it doesn't matter where in England you are, the laws are the same. They did have this one law, you know, it was in London, and they had a sign up that said, it was probably in English, so I'm just going to do a loose translation. But it said, you know, I can read English. I can't really speak it very well. I can usually understand it. Anyway. There was a sign that said, if you're buying alcohol, you have to buy at least one food item. So you see people in line with, they've got, you know, six packs of beer. They've got, you know, vodka. They've got, you know, everybody's got some big load of booze and a small bag of crisps.
Now, who do you think greased the palms to get that law passed?
The crisp industry. It's Big Crisp. Or over there, they probably call it enormously large crisp. They can never. That's one thing about the British, man. They do not. They are not trying to be efficient when they make their signs. They write that shit out.
They leave the efficiency to the Germans.
Yeah, exactly. We fought a war, so we wouldn't have to be efficient.
That's right.
But in Indiana, you can't buy cold beer unless you're like in a liquor store. And if you're in a liquor store, you can't buy cold soda.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about the cold soda on the show before, which is I never, because I don't buy soda pop when I go into the liquor store, so I never noticed. But after we talked about it, I've been noticing. It's like, yeah, no cold soda over here, no cold pop over here, and the ice machine's outside.
Yeah. Every law has some weird backstory, right? Like, mm-hmm. like in Indiana, you can't sell liquor on Sundays. Well, that's so the employees can be home with their families. I'm like, oh, yeah? What about the FedEx employees? You don't care about them? What about all the other employees that work on Sunday?
Tell me another one. That's a nice cover story.
Or they'll be like, you shouldn't be buying beer on Sundays. You should be at church and spending time with your family. Oh, yeah? The bars are open.
Mm-hmm. They have to have a kitchen. But kitchen is loosely translated into microwave. Because I've been in bars where their kitchen was a microwave, so they could sell alcohol on Sunday.
Well, the there's a thing tied to their license in Indiana that says they have to serve. It's very specific. Mm-hmm. They have to have available milk, some sort of sandwich, and hot soup. So a lot of them have the microwave and like Lipton cup of soup or whatever, Campbell's cup of soup, and then they'll have like a thing of milk in the fridge or whatever, right? And they have peanut butter and jelly. Anyway, another dumb law. When it all comes down to, anytime they talk about cold beer sales, what they're talking about is selling cold beer in the gas stations and the grocery stores and stuff. Uh-huh. And they always loop in the Sunday liquor sales with that, uh-huh, because it's just this big, it has nothing to do with the good of the people. If you want to see how government operates, this is a good case study to follow, mm-hmm, because it's all about what the industries want. And it's the industry squaring off against each other, like trying to figure out what's best for them and what will make them the most money.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with what the citizens of the state want or what's good for the citizens. So all of the people that talk about, well, government's there to, you know, for the good of all people and, you know, it's supposed to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not what government does. Okay. Government does what government wants to do to make people, you know, to make, because the government's not like this some, you don't just, you get elected and you walk through some magic portal and like, whoa, now you're like some different person who doesn't know your old friends from the industry. Right?
You know what I love?
Who's
what I love, dude?
Yeah.
Okay. These are irresponsible headlines interpretations, but clearly we're biased when it comes to alcohol, because you are getting real.
A little bit. A little bit.
Clearly, we have our priorities. We know what's important.
That's right. Speaking of important things, next story. Kid makes a cardboard Nintendo Switch because mom won't buy the console. So it's funny. I'm just so proud that Superfan James made it in the news.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'll find the article. I'll Photoshop him in the article.
Oh, nice. But it says his mom wouldn't let him buy the console. I wonder if it meant his wife.
Well, you know, some people are, I don't know. I'm not going anywhere near that. We want him on the show again, so.
Oh, super fan. His mom's like, it probably is his mom. It's like, she's like, super fan, I told you that you cannot have a Nintendo Switch. He said, but moms. She said, super fan, you go to your. And then, you know, she's really mad when she calls him Superfan James.
That's right.
She's like, Superfan James, You go to your room and play with that cardboard box. Like, ooh, she called you superfan James. You're in trouble. Like when she's like, oh, that's my little SFJ. You know that she's like just being gentle and like just trying to help coddle him and everything. It kind of makes me sick. It's kind of a pet name thing. Oh, little SFJ. Oh, so I remember when you were just a little SFJ.
You were just an S.
No, she's mad. Superfan James. Mom, don't call me SFJ around my friends.
I don't know about you, man, but like if I would have asked my mom for a Switch, she'd have went and got a Willow Switch and whipped my ass with it.
My mom would have said, go get your own damn Switch and bring it in the house. I'm going to whoop your ass with it. That's cold-blooded, making somebody get their own Switch.
It's like plugging in your own electric chair.
Yeah. Yeah, they should do that. They should put a little handle on it and be like, okay, pull the handle.
They should make you crank the little generator thing. Sit there and fry yourself. The faster you crank, the quicker it'll be, so crank harder.
faster you crank, the less it hurts. I'm just trying to imagine. It's like, Superfan James, you go to your room and play with that cardboard box. And he goes in there and comes back out, and he's got a Nintendo Switch.
An actual one.
He's smart enough that it actually works.
Right.
He's got plugged into a cardboard TV.
like his brother and his sister are like acting out the characters on inside the box, you know. Like.
That reminds me. Did you see that thing Andy Wright posted earlier this week? And he talked about, you know, what engineers do, or how you know an engineer's bored. I forget what it was, but it was somebody playing with they made like a crane.
Oh yeah.
Out of bits of cardboard and some string.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is how I know I wasn't meant to be an engineer. Just looking at that thing like gives me fits. I can't imagine having the patience to put it together.
Dude, yours would look like one, like a Ray Rayner project. It would be, because he would always try to make that thing look like it was supposed to, but it seldom ever did.
Yeah. He was the Geraldo Rivera of children's TV. Like, and when we come back, it's going to work. I'm going to get this egg to balance. And I'm going to get the first pickle out of this pickle jar. Tell you what, man, how about we take a little break? I got one more headline, but I think we ought to save it till we come out the other end. That whole thing reminds me of this week. My children are on spring break.
Oh, okay.
We didn't make any plans to go anywhere or anything. So they're just pretty much sitting around all day being bored. And which is good. Because my sixth grader started making this slime stuff. I swear to God, every child in America is making slime right now because you cannot find glue anywhere.
Right.
Apparently, you mix glue, baking soda, shampoo, children's tears. I don't know what all's in there, but you just put all this shit together and you mix it up, and then it's like, it's kind of cool when she finally got it right. She had to make like 8 different batches before she finally got it right. 6 of those were because she didn't have any glue, so she's like got a glue stick, like trying to melt it. She put a glue stick in the microwave. I was like, ooh, that might not be a good idea. That might blow up. I don't know. And
this wasn't for a class project. This was just out of boredom? Okay.
Well, yes, everybody at school is making it. And she looked it up on YouTube, and now it's like a YouTube sensation. And now you can't even get liquid glue at Walmart. It was like a glue shortage. And I thought it was great because I'm thinking about that cardboard Nintendo Switch. Like, it caused me, like, this thing with her and then the cardboard Nintendo Switch started me thinking a theory that I kind of have, which is, you know, we all assume that, like, we talk about kids these days, right? They're just always on their phones or they're on iPads or they're on playing video games or whatever. Yeah, that's true about, you know, 18 to 28-year-olds right now, right?
Right.
Every generation rebels against the generation before them.
Mm-hmm.
What if the kids, our kids' age, turn out to be one of the most analog generations in the past couple? I mean, part of it you could say, well, look at hipsters. They dress like lumberjacks, right? So that's kind of what they're doing. They're like, we're supposed to be wearing silver spacesuits, but they're like, no, I'm going to dress like a lumberjack.
Which is why I can't find flannel at Walmart.
Price of flannel is going way up. I'm going to buy flannel futures.
If you're wearing flannel, you don't have a future.
I have a theory that there'll be somewhat of a backlash and that the kids, our kids' age, will find ways to connect that aren't the phone or aren't, you know, because who wants to be like their parents, right? Mm-hmm. It'll either be that or the next big new technology, whether it's, I don't know, virtual reality or whatever, will become their thing, you know, and they'll always be immersed in that. And we'll be the old folks because, you know, we're sitting here on our phones.
Right. Or on our laptops. I think they're actually going to be a lot smarter because we used to have to, like, go to the library and look shit up.
Oh, right.
You know? And, like, you know, you and me, we live way out in the sticks. They can just get on their phones. They just get on their phones and look shit up. I'll ask my oldest, like, for instance, her and I are going to start, like, repurposing some furniture that I got setting up my parents' house. And I'll ask her, like, well, you know, find me some ideas for what we can do. And she'll come out of her room with like a dozen different videos that she's found on YouTube of not only just cool ideas, but how to do them. You know, and we would have had to have gone to the library, look that shit up, couldn't check the book out because it was in information, and you can't take that stuff home. You know, so you'd have to, then you forget to bring change because you got to make photocopies of it. But these kids today can just look stuff up, you know, like that.
You know what that is?
What?
It's called augmented reality.
That's what this is.
That's alternate reality. Let the record show, Paul showed me a bottle of whiskey.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, You said that they would be smarter, and I agree with you. And if you think about technology, even the history of technology, you know, look at cars, look at better shoes, clothing that you don't have to make yourself. All of these things allow us to do things that would take us, would be a lot harder and not as accessible to the masses, right? So like getting from here to Chicago in less than 4 hours, you know, the president of the United States didn't have that power at one time. Now everybody has that power, right? Knowing the capital of Venezuela within less than 20 seconds, you know, it took a history major, somebody, social studies geek that would know that. Now everybody can know it in less than 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You kind of extrapolate that into the future and you think of any mundane task that a computer could do, somebody will figure out a way to integrate it with the person. So think about even like, even lifting heavy objects could be, you know, that's another one. If you think about steam, take steampunk and take out the steam. And
we just got punks.
You just got punk. Or you've got these things that you can put on your body that allow you to do things that we can't even imagine right now. Like,
right.
You could be from here to Chicago in less than an hour without a car. You know, you just run there or whatever. So that's what your daughter's doing. You say, here's a task. Find some ideas for repurposing this furniture. You could have done that 30 years ago. It would have taken you a week and a half. You'd have to get a ride to the library. You know, and she's able to do it in less than a few minutes.
Well, you know, one other funny thing about video real quick is my youngest, you know, she's 9. And she watches a lot of videos. Like she one day told me, people try to get Tic Tacs out of the containers wrong. You know, and she explains to me how you get a Tic Tac out. And I'm like, did you watch it on YouTube? She's like, yeah. Like, okay. Like, there's a video how to get a Tic Tac out. But today she goes, hey, Dad, you want to know something that'll ruin your childhood? I'm like, well, you're a little late, but sure, what do you got? She goes, did you see Lion King when you were a kid? I'm like, this is why you're my favorite. And then proceeds to, I explained to her, well, no, I was an adult when it came out, but, you know, then she proceeds to tell me about, you know, the things that are hidden, the images that are hidden in, like, a lot of the Disney cartoons and stuff. But I just thought that was funny. That's why you're my favorite.
Our next headline comes from the world of entertainment. At least I think entertainment's what we could apply to this. Well, you tell me. There's a new show coming out on the CW. First look at Black Lightning from the CW's new DC Comics pilot. Black Lightning. I remember White Lightning with Gator. You know, Gator? White Lightning. Is that Blue Chan? Is that Chan?
Both are two of my favorite movies ever.
Gator and White Lightning.
I think they're the same movie. They just took the cutting room floor stuff became Gator from White Lightning, you know?
That's the one that had the guy that played Jaws in it, right? It was either White Lightning or Gator. And he drives up in a car, and he's so tall that he's got his head through the sunroof. He couldn't fit in the car. So he's got his head through the sunroof, and he drives up, and they pull up, and what was his name? I don't think it was Jaws, but maybe, I don't know.
Richard Kiel.
I'll look it up on IMDb. Oh, yeah, this is him. 7'2". Ugly as the day is long. Let's see what movies he was in. Moonraker, The Spy Who Loved Me, Happy Gilmore, Tangled, Pale Rider, The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. No, it's none of these. Let's see. Force 10 from Navarone.
The lousy, stinking partisans.
He was in Cannonball Run.
Yeah, he was in Cannonball Run. I think you might be mixing your Burt Reynolds movies.
I think so. All right, let's just pretend it was Cannonball Run. Well, he drives up in this car, and he's got his head through the thing, and he's like, whatever his name was, call him Jaws.
Yeah.
He's like, this is Jaws. He's like, that's not his real name. Ask him. Ask him why they call him Jaws. He goes, why they call you Jaws? He goes, because I tell him to.
Best line ever.
So I made up a nickname for myself at one time, Big Jim. And then I'd go around my friend Rob. I'd have him always have people ask me why they call me Big Jim. Like, this is Big Jim. Ask him why they call him Big Jim. Call him Big Jim. Why do they call you Big Jim? Because I tell him to. Anyway, were you saying something?
No, what do you want to know?
I want to know if Black Lightning is like Courvoisier. Like, you know, White Lightning is moonshine for white people. Is Black Lightning like a cognac or something?
Maybe a Cristal.
Or brandy.
No.
Cristal. I was thinking Courvoisier or Ripple.
That's a Ripple or gin.
And juice.
Yeah, gin was another one back in the day. Mm. No, I got my fingers crossed. I have my fingers crossed on Black Lightning. Because Black Lightning is a character who's been around since the early to mid-70s. And there's so much about... I mean, that was back when if you were black, they named you Black This and Black That. You know,
that's what I was wondering. I was like, okay, great. There's a black character who's not just like, here's the Black Spider-Man. But did they have to call him Black something?
Well,
okay, so it's from the 70s. All right.
Yeah, well, in the case of Black Lightning, the idea behind his name having the black in it was basically this was the 70s. There was a lot of the black pride stuff going around, and he capitalized on that.
Well, we're moving on up to the east side. We got Black Lightning by our side.
Just because the theme song don't mean it ain't true. No, but that was back in the day when you had to, you know, the guy who created him, who's a friend of mine, and he's white, but he wanted to create this well-rounded, because at that point in time, black characters were stereotypical as fuck. They were from the ghetto. They got experimented on. They did the petty crimes when they were a kid. They were just a cliche. They were your typical blaxploitation movie. But when his name's Tony Isabella, when Tony created Black Lightning, he wanted to create a well-rounded character who didn't really even need superpowers, but you know, to complete his whole personality. But he ended up getting them anyway. And he was very popular, but unfortunately it led to some legal problems, and now him and Tony and DC have worked out their problems, and Tony's finally getting paid for his character after 40 plus years easily.
So I've heard you talk about Tony before. How do you know Tony?
Well, I'm a huge Black Lightning fan, and I fanboyed out on him one day at a convention, and it was funny. This was back in the days of MySpace. I had a friend of mine wanted a painting of Black Lightning, so I painted him a painting of Black Lightning. Well, at that point, Tony Isabella was just like a MySpace friend. Well, I posted it, and Tony Isabella gets on there and he's like, I wish somebody would paint me a painting of Black Lightning. Well, shortly thereafter, the first issue of Serial Squad came out. So I ran in. Tony reviews comics. That's one of the other things he does. Well,
okay.
I went to this convention the second time I met him. And I handed him the copy of Serial Squad. I said, you know, here's the first issue of Serial Squad. I'm really excited about it. And then I reached out. I'm like, and this Black Lightning painting is by no means a bribe for a positive review.
Nice.
And we've met periodically over the years at various conventions and chat periodically on Facebook now. But yeah, he deserves everything he gets out of this. Because, I mean, the story behind his falling out with DC is long and jaded and doesn't really paint DC in a very positive light. I won't go into that, but fingers crossed, because right now it's a pilot. But you know what Jules Winfield said about pilots?
What did Jules say about pilots?
Well, the way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
So hopefully it does. Because honestly, the CW does not have a big rep. I'm not really a fan of too many of their superhero shows. So with any luck, this one will, you know, fix that problem.
I didn't even know the CW was still around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's their strength right now. This is funny. They went from these, like, bad teen primetime soap opera shows, like Dawson's Creek, and the list is endless, to producing bad soap opera superhero TV shows. And, I mean, Supergirl was decent for a while, but it kind of went downhill. And me and the boys still watch Legends, which is really good. But, like, their Arrow show, which is insanely popular for reasons I don't understand. And same thing with their Flash TV show. But hopefully Black Lightning will, you know, give me something to watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, our brush with fame. When's Tony going to be on the show?
I'll ask him.
Should he be on this one, or should he be on Rough Draft, or both?
He can be on whatever the fuck he wants to be on.
All right. Tell you what. How about we check in with our Facebook question of the day?
Okay.
Your worst job ever. Go. Jessica Vincent says, Sears worked there for not even a week and never went back. BCBG was bad too, but that was because it's at the Lighthouse Place and it was my first job.
Well, that's a life story Sears. For you.
So does Uncle Carl still work at Sears? He's retired, isn't he?
Yeah, he's retired. He's a man of leisure now.
Is Sears even still there?
I don't think... If it is, not for long, because Sears and Kmart merged, and now they're both going out of business.
You know things are bad when you merge with Kmart.
Mm-hmm, especially when they even got a deli no more.
Erica June Vinson says, Cookie Factory. Only worked there for a day. It's like, get me out of here. Jeff Lynch, helping a friend tar a flat roof in Sacramento in the heat of a summer's day. That's not a job. That's helping a friend.
Not if you're paid. If you got paid for it, maybe. Or, you know, cash or beer.
That's right. Eric Saltzman, shoveling pig excrement. Hands down. If I'm shoveling pig excrement, I'm not hands down. No, hands up. I'm in pig shit. Joanne Holland says, Ponderosa Steakhouse as a waitress in Michigan City. Horrible. Man, I wish I'd known she was a waitress at Ponderosa Steakhouse. I would have went there more often.
You never want to be a waitress at a place that has a buffet. It's just not a... You're never going to make any money.
No. Tips are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Vitito, detasseling corn. What's so bad about that? Just... A lot of us farm people did that. I never did.
I did. I'm thinking, you know, tassels.
Woo, Janet. I think the trick is to get one spinning one way and the other one the other way.
That's right.
I never could do that.
I don't care how they spin. as long as they spin.
Paul Volstorf, friend of the show. He's provided me much material over the years. telemarketer while in college. I made it about a week and just quit going. It was horrible. Everyone thinks about how annoying they are, but telemarketers take a lot of abuse from the people they call. You're going to get me to feel sorry for telemarketers. Oh, poor telemarketers.
He tried that shit back in the day, too, because I remember when he had that job and he was trying to tell us how bad it was, and we're just like, fuckers call my house, you know, 30 times a day.
Yeah. Delaram Magadam says, you know what? I've never asked her how to pronounce her last name. I think I'll do that next time I see her. Maybe it's Mogadam. I don't know. Maybe one of our Persian listeners can call us and tell us how to spell this. Anyway, she says, selling Kirby vacuum cleaners. That would suck.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Stonebreaker. I've never heard of Brian Stonebreaker. Who's Brian Stonebreaker? Is that one of your friends?
Maybe he's one of the fans of the show, and he just...
Sweet. We have a new fan of the show that we don't know. Paint Dipper at Saren Industries.
Huh. Better than being a honey dipper, I guess.
Whatever that is. Oh, Bruce White.
Google it. It's a thing.
I once got paid to carefully take stickers off CD cases so they could put different stickers on. There was a whole room of us doing this. Joy of hourly work. Well, why are you doing that? Anyway. Kathy Lupke says, tobacco fields. Now that sounds, it's like, yeah, I remember back in the tobacco fields of my youth.
Did they get to sing songs? I mean, I want to know more. Were they like singing Negro work songs?
That is one I would like to hear about. That's for sure. Tobacco fields. Sounds a pretty good one. They'll probably continue to stream in. It seems pretty popular already. Mm-hmm. We may pick up a few listeners if we have. Thank you. We love that. Tell a friend if you like what you hear. If you don't like what you hear, tell them anyway. Send them to don'tpanicradioshow.com and they'll be able to access the show right there. Because you know what? Just because you don't like it doesn't mean your friends won't like it.
That's right.
Come on.
I have a broad spectrum of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think everybody else does too.
Or, if you don't want to tell your friends, tell somebody else's friends.
That's right. Stop people in the street.
Yeah. Tell somebody you don't like.
Your reputation will not be tarnished if you tell a complete stranger about our show. Because they don't know you.
Here's what you do. Go to Cafe Press. Make up a bunch of stickers that say don'tpanicradioshow.com. And then walk around town putting the stickers on things. Do that. If you don't have any friends you want to tell. Because remember when the internet first came out? Remember this. There were these clever URLs, and you would see these stickers that just had the URL up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I got to get a website. And then all I got to do is put the URL everywhere. Because it was the days when it was like, there's this whole internet out there, but I don't know what's there. Nobody knows what's out there. So until search engines came out, it's like you had to know the URL. Right.
Yeah. Search engines are like the cliff notes of the internet. But is that an accurate assessment?
No, it's like the card catalog.
Or the uncle that knew everything of the internet.
That's Wikipedia.
That's true.
You know what search engines are? They're like the information desk of the internet. You go up to the library. You go, I'm looking for information on the capital of Venezuela. They'd be like, follow me to the card catalog and I'll show you how to use it. Bitch, I didn't tell you show me how to use the card catalog. Just tell me the capital of Venezuela. Damn.
I'm testing you.
Don't they slap librarians in this town?
Shit.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, you never asked me my worst job.
Oh, I already said mine, didn't I?
Yeah.
Why is it every week I forget to ask you the Facebook question of the day? I'll tell you what. Why don't you just assume that I always want to know it? And then that way you don't have to wait for me to ask it. You can just jump in with it.
How does that argument work with your wife? Honey?
Never.
You need to just assume I don't know what I'm doing.
Just assume I want to know how your day was and that I think your hair looks great and that your ass doesn't look big in those britches.
And that I did not tell you that bitch was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Paul.
What's up?
Your worst job ever. Go.
There's been so many. Oh, God. Probably the worst job I ever had lasted about two... Maybe a month altogether. But unfortunately, it was also the worst job I had because I got a job as the assistant manager at this candy store.
Mm-hmm.
And what made it was great. I mean, the money was really good. This was several years ago, so they actually had insurance, and you know, I had a nice little 401k going, and everybody liked me except my boss.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And the worst part was sometimes you had to stand by the door and like welcome these people into your store. And it was just so humiliating because they didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to say it. I felt like I was having like an out of body, like I was speaking in tongues. You know, I'm down here saying things, but I'm really up here floating, looking at myself.
I'm trying to picture you speaking in tongues at a candy store. People bringing their kids in, and you're going, ha, ba-da-la, ha-da. Ha, Zamariah.
Lay it on the floor, just writhing around, candy scattering all across the place.
Moms are like putting their hands over their kids' faces and walking them away.
Well, it was everything I did wrong, but yet somehow they always managed to equal sales. Because this was in the eye of my boss, and then when the district managers showed up, because the store was brand new. When the district managers showed up, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's charm spinsters. Well, I had these three or four old ladies just going crazy, and you could hear like sizzling in the other room because my boss would be in there, just mattered and shit that these people were paying attention to me. And after the big inspection and they left, that woman proceeded to make my life hell. Every day that I was supposed to get off, I no longer had off. It was just a power play for this bitch. And I had that stupid thing in my head where, like, you know, you can't, that our fathers put in us, which is, you know, don't quit your, you know, you can't quit your job without another job lined up.
Right.
And finally, I just went, I didn't have a job when I got this one. So, yeah, it was a fucking nightmare.
There you go. What candy store was that?
It's called Harry and David's. They were out of, I don't even know if they're still around anymore. They got their start like in Colorado or something. But what kills me is by the time we got them, they were owned by a Japanese pharmaceutical company. And I'm like, nice. Living in America. It's like, only in America does a Japanese pharmaceutical company own a candy store.
Perfect synergy right there.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's a bad job right there.
Are there any late entries?
One of my kids' former teachers said, camp counselor, primitive camping with fifth graders. Had to pack our own water in 4 miles. That's weird. That you would do primitive camping where you had to march 4 miles and you had to take your own water. That's kind of dumb. I'm glad that she didn't say teaching your little shit kids.
Yeah, that would be.
Like, careful what you ask for. All right. So that's about it. Go to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Check out our blog. Check out the latest episode. Go listen to all the old episodes. There's information on there on how you can do that. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Podbean. Just find us. Tell a friend. Listen.
That's all we ask.
Because for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was truth. Truth. Truth.
Sun went down, and then you'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy's corn squeezing.
White lightning.
Well, the G-Man, T-Man, revenuers too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my Pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Of Mountain Dew. I took a little sip and right away I knew as my eyes bugged out.
and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started clashing.
White lightning.
Well, the G-men, revenue is too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
I think I want to taste that powerful stuff. He took one swig slug and he drank it right down. And I heard him a-moaning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, your pappy's corn squeezing.
White lightning.
The G-men, T-men, revenue is too. Searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Ah, bullshit.